Davani's, your local pizza and hot hoagie joint in the Twin Cities and family-owned since 1975. With 20 convenient locations, they proudly employ 900 Minnesotans. Delivery, takeout, or dine-in, they've got you covered. Order online at Davani's.com.
It's the KQ Morning Show, 92 KQRS.
I love a soft
hello.
End.
Hello.
I'm Steve.
Can you not hear yourself?
I'm Steve Gorman. This is the KQ Morning Show. Good to be with you. It is March the 15th.
Hi, Steve.
Is there a pre-delay issue here?
Good to be with you. It is March the 15th. Minor technical difficulties aside, we're thrilled to be here.
No one was hurt.
No one was injured during the making of this show. Not yet. We've got 4 hours to see if that's the case. You know, every now and again, Steve is supposed to push a button, and every now and again, Steve comes up short. Thank you, Candace Wheeler. It is March the 15th, otherwise known as the Ides of March, so it makes perfect sense that I would struggle to get the day off right. Watch your back. It is the Ides of March.
That's right.
I would like to share 5 historical events that happened on this day, and I want to get everyone's thoughts on what's the most significant. First, of course, 2,067 years ago, Julius Caesar got knifed in the back, literally by a group of Roman senators, hence the term, beware the Ides of March. Okay, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that. How about this? 131 years ago on this day, the escalator was patented, which was a great day for lazy people walking up and down. How many times have you been? How many times have you literally been like, oh, thank God there's an escalator? So that's a big day.
I was really scared of escalators for a long time.
I get that. But you get over it, you face your fears, and now just they're a blessing every time. 46 years ago, Three's Company premiered on ABC. That's a pretty big day.
Oh, tough to top that.
It's tough to top Three's Company. 38 years ago, the first ever internet domain name was registered. In 1985, Symbolics.com was registered. That was where it all began. You could say that was the beginning of the end. I wouldn't really argue with you, but I'm gonna put forward a theory that the most important thing that ever happened on March 15th happened in 1972. 51 years ago today, The Godfather premiered in movie theaters. So the American Film Institute has Citizen Kane number 1, Casablanca number 2, and The Godfather number 3. But I put it to you, Greg. No, wait, that's a line from Animal House, my other favorite movie of all time. I put it to all of you. Which would you rather sit down and watch right now? Citizen Kane, Casablanca. How are the A's? Where is it? Casablanca? I don't know.
Tomato, tomato.
Or The Godfather, if you prefer. I can't imagine anybody wants to watch either of those other films ahead of The Godfather.
No.
If you say Citizen Kane, you're just a snooty film student.
Oh,
and if you say
Casablanca,
you're just trying to be hoity-toity and like, I love the romance. I love American bars.
Ingrid Bergman.
Strong. I'll give you that.
Hottest woman on the history of the planet. I'll take Casablanca every day.
Over The Godfather.
I'm just, you know, I love the movie. It's a great movie, but it's a bit hysterical. I think, you know what I did enjoy was The Offer. I enjoyed that a lot more than the movie itself. The making that, you know, that dramatization of the making.
Oh,
of the
sure.
Yeah, that was a great series. I mean, the movie's great. It's, you know, it holds up there. I'd put it in my top 100.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Top 100.
I'll tell you what. When Slapshot comes on, and this happened to me a couple of times, Slapshot's on one channel, Godfather's on the other. Easy decision.
Wow. That's a hell of a question. What movie do you watch over The Godfather? That's a great question. Like, you got an A and you got a B. And this is, we can't set a context. It doesn't have to be 8 p.m. I mean, just generally speaking, anytime, any day, you got 2 TVs on in a room and you can only face one of them. It's The Godfather or it's another movie. So you're going Slapshot. You know, it's funny because when I immediately think, what are my favorite movies of all time? I've long had the same list, but then I realize, well, the top ones, Godfather and Godfather 2, Being There with Peter Sellers. I can never not watch that if it's on. But then I literally go right to Animal House and Dazed and Confused, you know, A and B. Yeah. If you want another crime movie, another mob movie, Miller's Crossing, long been a favorite. Yeah, not as well known, but then also I still look at Goodfellas and think that's as good a movie as you can make. So crime helps, I guess, is on my list. Crime and college hijinks. That's what I'm looking for on a general basis.
There's like a subset too of movies that they're not great, but anytime they're on, you got to stop and watch, like a Point Break.
Roadhouse.
Sure. Yeah. Just cheesy movies that will just keep you glued there.
If you got one movie, Candace, I'm putting you on the spot. One movie.
You said I could pick three.
Give me three movies, Candace, that you, right now, you're going to die on the hill for these three films.
Well, so I'm a huge mafia movie psychopath, but I would say A Bronx Tale is the best movie of all time, and that's what made me fall in love with Robert De Niro.
Okay.
And so then I used to go to Blockbuster all the time and rent a bunch of Robert De Niro movies, and then I rented Heat, and then I fell in love with Al Pacino and watched a bunch of Al Pacino movies.
Okay.
But then otherwise, my favorite movie of all time besides mafia movies is Detroit Rock City.
Wow.
Detroit Rock City. I'm unfamiliar with that particular piece of work.
Oh, my God.
I know the song. I know the album Destroyer by Kiss. I'm not familiar with the film Detroit Rock City.
Oh, yeah. Great road movie about, heading off to see Kiss. It was relatable. I loved it, yeah.
Well, I will definitely have to check that out then. All right, well, so it's the anniversary of arguably the greatest film of all time, certainly one of the most rewatchable films of all time. You can't turn it away. And I'm curious, what beats The Godfather? I'm dying to hear. Hit us up on the KQ Facebook page. Tell me I'm wrong. I'm watching The Godfather pretty much over. Honestly, the only thing I think that might be more immediately magnetic to me is The Godfather 2. Yeah. Truly. Easily the greatest sequel of ever. Leave me alone, Revenge of the Return of the Empire, whatever the hell that second Star Wars movie was. I don't care about Star Wars. But I'm dying to hear what your thoughts are.
So your top three, Godfather, Godfather 2, and Dazed and Confused.
Okay. And that'll change. The number three hole will shift throughout the day. But for right now, sure. I'm going Last Day of High School and then Organized Crime. That works for me. There's my starting list. We'll see where I am by 9:30.
Well, you want some variety in there for entertainment purposes, don't
sure.
you?
I mean, oh,
if you're
oh,
just I'll, all I'll, focused on one genre, it's a little weird and creepy.
By the fourth hour, I'll be going deep on 24-hour party people. Don't you worry.
I don't even know that one. 24-hour party people. Oh, all right.
Well, as great a film about a music scene as there's ever been imagined.
All right.
It's magical.
What's your three, Zeppo?
I'm going to have to go with Meatballs, Slapshot, and Supergirl, I think, probably, right off the top of my head.
Meatballs, if I want to be very strong.
Meatballs. Yeah, it just doesn't matter.
Not Meatballs 2, just Meatballs 1.
You know, I was going to go with all sequels, Dumb and Dumber 2, Troll 2, and then Meatballs 2. But, these are the things that keep me entertained. I hate it when movies try to be serious. I just, if it's not going to be a comedy, it better have Paul Newman in it. That's all I've got to say.
I'm trying to remember Meatballs. Is that, what's Bill Murray's?
Bill Murray.
Tripper Harrison.
Huh?
Tripper Harrison. Is that his character's name?
Oh, I wonder if that is his character's
name. It is.
Trippy.
Something. All right. That's what Google's for. All right. Well, whatever. All right. We've launched this ship. We're obsessed with movies. Let's just call it what it is. And with that, it is time for the Mike Evans Hollywood Report. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, that's my favorite movie, Godfather.
We were just talking about it for the whole open. Hard to imagine a movie that's more instantly magnetic. When you see it on, you sit down, you just have to start watching.
Absolutely. Got some happy news today, some love nuggets. Lindsay Lohan pregnant. Says she's happily married. She's off drugs for the first time in her life. She is really happy. Good for Lindsay Lohan.
No argument for me that she was phenomenally talented. Glad to see that she's on the right path. I hope that's true because there was no denying that kid was the real deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Back in the 80s, Tim Burton was married for 4 years. Then they were divorced. Tim was partners with Lisa Marie. No, not that Lisa Marie. A model named Lisa Marie. They were partners for 10 years. And then, of course, Tim Burton lived with Helena Bonham Carter for 13 years. And now it looks like Tim Burton is getting married.
Wow. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, this time to Monica Bellucci. She's an Italian actress and model. They've been dating for about 5 years. She's 58. Tim is 64. From happy good news to monster news, Alec Murdaugh says that he doesn't have any money, so he's not going to be able to buy a headstone for his son or his wife who he murdered.
Oh, for the love of all that is sacred.
Can you believe that?
Jeez.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Presley news, Priscilla actually, I guess, has a chance to win that challenge of Lisa Marie's will on a technicality. Lisa made changes to her will but didn't tell Priscilla, who witnessed the original will. Somehow she's supposed to be notified by California law. We'll see. And Lisa's daughter, Riley, is starring in an amazing series called Daisy Jones and the Six. It's about a fictitious band in the 70s, but Steve, this band certainly seems an awful lot like Fleetwood Mac.
That's what I hear.
Great, great series, 4 stars.
Strong advocacy from Mike Evans on yeah. Daisy and the Six.
There you go.
Wow.
Final Oscar nuggets. Monica Lewinsky was at the Elton John party, the Governor's Ball, and Vanity Fair. A lot of people would say, why in the world was she there? But if you haven't seen House of Shame, a documentary directed and produced by Monica Lewinsky, it's on HBO Max. It is fabulous. House of Shame.
It is fabulous. I kind of mind-blowing.
Why wasn't Tom Cruise at the Oscars? Well, Tom was sleeping in an igloo 500 miles from the North Pole, shooting Mission Impossible 8. He planned it that way because he says he'll never, ever be in the same room with his ex, Nicole Kidman, who he truly hates. It all stems from her attacking Tom and really going after Scientology, and Tom can have none of that, but that's why he wasn't at the Oscars.
Really?
How about that?
Wow, that's a... Well, that's the kind of hill I would actually expect him to die on, now that I think about it.
There you go.
Nut job.
What was that, Sticks and Stones Will Break My Bones? I bring that up because Will Smith is ripping Chris Rock, saying that Chris Rock hurt him by some mean things he said in the Netflix special. I mean, hurt him? Hey, Will, you weren't the one that got slapped.
Yeah. You weren't the one that got slapped after, you know, the whole thing, it always comes back to the same button for me, which is don't taunt comedians. Don't respond when comedians go back at you. You just got to let that one go. You can rage in private all you want, but it's never going to help you to come out publicly and talk about anything. It's just more red meat for someone who can turn your words into comedy.
You need to keep in mind, shut the front door.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Odds and ends. So what's up with 91-year-old William Shatner saying he expects to die very soon? He keeps talking about it. I'm thinking, why does he keep bringing it up? Oh, yeah. He's starring in Comic-Con. He's trying to get people to show up, I guess. That's why he's doing it.
Wow. That's a cynical take, Mike.
I don't know. And Tina Fey and Amy Poehler concert tour is sold out in South Carolina, in Boston, Chicago, and Atlantic City. But the good news, they're adding more cities for the Tina Fey, Amy Poehler concert tour.
I would attend that show happily.
Absolutely. Hey, everybody, have a great day. Take care. Talk to you tomorrow from Hollywood. See you.
Right on, Mike Evans. Thank you very much. Speaking of the Hollywood Report, as we mentioned earlier, this is the 51st anniversary of The Godfather hitting theaters. And we are soliciting your comments. What movie's better than The Godfather? If you're going to put 2 TVs in a room, one of them's got The Godfather, what's on the other one that's going to demand your attention? And we will be sharing all kinds of comments from listeners throughout the rest of the day, because the socials darn done blown up, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they sure are.
That happens sometimes. But before that, we do have to take today's... Well, we got to go to history class, Tony.
Music.
History.
Remember
where the past,
you remember that,
comes alive.
No. On this day in 1869, of course, we start with sports history. The Cincinnati Red Stockings, which was the first baseball team composed completely of professionals, played their first game. The first professional baseball game, 1869. That's 4 years after Appomattox Courthouse. This is a long time ago. They beat a team from Antioch College 41-7. The Red Stockings' average annual salary back then was $950, which is $900 more than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
They were doing pretty well in 1869 with almost a grand in their pocket. Another baseball note, on this day in 1912, Ty Cobb beat a heckler in the stadium. Beat him like a drum. The reason this is notable is the man's name was Claude LeCour. He was a printer who'd had several accidents at work. He'd lost a hand and three fingers on another hand. And Ty Cobb went into the bleachers and beat the man mercilessly. Yeah. A spectator yelled, "Ty, the man doesn't have any hands." And Ty Cobb yelled back, this is according to multiple witnesses, "I don't care if he doesn't have feet."
No, he's got a mouth.
The lesson, as always, don't mess with the Georgia peach. Ty Cobb, not a friend on or off the field. That was one surly cuss, as they say. On this day in 1991, life imitated fine art. Queen Elizabeth actually went to a baseball game in Baltimore. Ooh. She did not throw out the first pitch as she had done in The Naked Gun. She did not throw a beautiful knuckleball. She didn't have a Gaylord Perry greased up seam, but she did attend her first baseball game. All right, music history. John Lennon on this day, a statue of John Lennon on this day was unveiled that overlooked the Liverpool Airport, which since this day in 2002 has been named the John Lennon Airport. Did you know that?
No, that's cool.
If you fly into Liverpool, England, you arrive at the John Lennon Airport. Take a moment and just think about that. I mean, it's awesome if you get a highway or a bridge named after you. It really is. It's awesome if you get a street named after you in a town no one's ever heard of, but an international airport?
Yeah.
Well done, brother. The John Lennon Airport. That's amazing. On this day in 1986, a band from Los Angeles covered a song written by a guy from Minneapolis. That band was called The Bangles. They had a song called Manic Monday. I think we all remember this one. Pretty great moment in 1986. It made it all the way to the top of its own trajectory, which was number 2 on the U.S. Billboard chart. It stayed there for several weeks. It never made it to number 1. Why? Because the number 1 song was Kiss by Prince. The man wrote both of those songs. He spent a few weeks at number 1, and he was fighting off number 2. A great time to be Prince, 1986.
Hell
and,
yeah.
And to this day, you put on that song Kiss, and I immediately go like, oh, hang on, turn that up.
Mm-hmm. Gotta love the Tom Jones version.
Oh, the Tom Jones version is special. Fun historical fact. On this day in 1968, Tom Jones won the Grammy for Best New Artist.
Oh.
Yeah, how about that?
That's pretty cool. TJ, Tom Jones covering anything is a better version, I think.
You know what? I can't even argue. No, I love Tom Jones.
A whole lot of love.
Yeah, he's right up there. He's right up there. And then finally, on this day in the year 2014, a guy no one's ever heard of by name named Scott Ashton died. He was the drummer for a band called The Stooges from Detroit Rock City. The Stooges formed in 1967. It was Scott Ashton, his brother Ron Ashton, a guy named Dave Alexander, and their singer was a guy named Iggy Pop. Mm. There is today's history lesson, ladies and gentlemen.
92 KQRS.
Davani's, your local pizza and hot hoagie joint in the Twin Cities, has been family-owned since 1975. With 20 convenient locations, they proudly employ 900 Minnesotans. Whether it's team gatherings, family meals, work lunches, or just craving familiar comfort food, Davani's is your trusted go-to. If you're looking for delivery, takeout, or somewhere to dine in, they've got you covered. Do you have a large group to feed? They're the large order experts you can count on. Order online at Davani's.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
It's the KQ Morning Show, 92 KQRS.
I'm Steve Gorman. This is the KQ Morning Show. And for as long as I can remember, at least from the eighth grade forward, at least once a year, I look at my brother Doug completely out of context and I say, Doug, you're my brother and I love you, but don't ever choose sides against the family again. That's because from the first time I ever watched The Godfather, I was hooked. And that glorious film was released 51 years ago today on the Ides of March 1972. Theatergoers all across the country rushed in. The Godfather was an immediate hit, and unlike a lot of immediate hits, it ended up having more staying power than just about every other movie ever made. And we are celebrating that very fact today, celebrating how much we either love it or we're either sick of it. Everybody, regardless of where you stand, has a pretty strong opinion about The Godfather. If you say you're neutral, I don't believe you. That's how I see it. But we've had an awful lot of people talking about their other favorite films. But first, I believe, Candace, we have a caller who would love to discuss The Godfather with us. Who is that?
Yeah, we have Shelley, a.k.a. Stretch, from St. Cloud.
Good morning, Shelley. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Do you prefer Shelley or Stretch? I need to know who I'm talking with for real.
Answer to both. I still have friends that don't even know my real name.
That's a wonderful thing. I have. There are people in Kentucky who know me as Beaver to this day. There, I said it. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Don't get me started. I know all about the lifelong nickname. So, all right, Stretch. What do you think when you hear The Godfather?
It's one of my favorites. I've read all his books. Mm-hmm. But I have a parallel movie that I also just rewatched with The Godfather.
Okay.
And that's Gone with the Wind, all the way.
Okay. Another classic, no question about it.
Well, it's because I believe I'd have been an amazing Scarlet and okay. an amazing Mafia Princess.
That's two.
I've done both.
Fine line between the two characters, really.
Not well, a lot. If you've right? seen Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Scarlett O'Hara, I have a feeling that there's some wise guys in the Bronx that would have never had a chance with her in the room.
There it is. And there's another little Mario Puzo miniseries called The Last Dawn that I highly recommend.
All right, fair enough.
I think it came out in the mid-90s.
Yeah, I remember that. I didn't see it, but I remember the title. I remember that being aware and out there. Do you remember the first time you saw The Godfather? Like how long ago would you say that was?
Well, I was probably 7 when it came out. I probably managed to watch it without parental consent by about 12.
Yeah, it's always there for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I can redo it with you guys. Yeah. If you're gonna do it. I probably know it line by line.
Fair enough.
And
I like that.
Thoroughly enjoyed 2 and 3 also.
I actually say it's even a greater accomplishment somehow, which is amazing. But at the same time, yeah, 3, I saw it, went out Christmas Day and watched it, but left me wanting. But then again, I was still, you know, by the end of it, when Michael collapses in his chair, I had tears in my eyes. Yeah. That's how it works.
Perfect.
True. I struggled with 3 and the whole cousin interaction thing.
Yeah.
That took it a little far. But yeah, they're epic. And I recommend you read the books too. I'm one of those that I read everything that's made into a movie.
Well, yeah, it's hard to ever top a book, in my opinion, but I think maybe this, and I have read the original Godfather by Mario Puzo. I think the movie may have done it. Stretch, thank you for the call, dear. We appreciate you calling
thank
in
you.
And thanks for listening.
You bet. Have a great day.
All right, you too. I believe in America. America has made my fortune, and I raised my daughter in the American fashion. Well, that's a hell of a way to start a movie, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The guy sitting there looking at Don Corleone, scared to death to be looking at the Godfather himself, asking for a favor. Tony, what other what notes are we getting on the text line? Who's giving us some suggestions for maybe something that could be better than The Godfather?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I didn't get a chance to give my top 3. Can I throw those out real quick?
Please, I'm all ears.
I would say number 3, Broadcast News.
Oh my gosh. Unquantifiably great.
One of my favorites.
Absolutely one of my favorites.
Number two, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Again? Man, and Goldman.
Number one, North by Northwest.
Okay.
An old classic. Yeah.
All right. You know, you lost me only because I haven't seen it in a really long time. Mm-hmm. And I would have to go back now with a more educated palate, if you will, and check it out. I literally don't think I've seen that since I was a teenager. And I bet I would really see it differently now.
You would. Just a charming Hitchcock.
But let's go back. Let's work with those. So North by Northwest there. Number two, I've already forgotten what you said.
Butch Cassidy.
Because I was so excited about Broadcast News. Butch Cassidy. Yeah, incredible. William Goldman, one of the great writers. Yeah, there's so many lines. I remember as a kid, I went to see a double feature. It was The Heartbreak Kid and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid back to back.
Great. Albert Brooks.
Yeah, it was just incredible. But watching Butch Cassidy that first time, even as like an 8-year-old, I was like, these guys are really cool the way they just talk to each other like normal people. Like the dialogue was so like regular. You know, think you used enough dynamite there, Butch. Like I just had never seen a movie where people talk like that.
Yeah, regular guy outlaws.
Yeah, so incredible. Cool. But boy, Broadcast News is absolutely one of my. Yeah, that's a 100% on the short list of a rotation. Another movie that anytime it's on, I'm just staring at the TV.
Same.
That's fantastic. Well,
you'd be surprised how many people are saying they have never seen The Godfather.
Oh,
and I weep for them. But we're getting Blazing Saddles.
Okay, all right. Blazing Saddles.
Dances with Wolves.
Okay, all right. Remember it. Long, real good, really enjoyed it. I don't think I've ever seen it since I saw it in the theater.
Mm-hmm. Tatanka.
That's it, to show me Tatanka. That's it, yeah, Tatanka. My saw it in West Virginia on a day off on tour, and my cousin slept through the whole thing, literally. The whole movie.
Love that movie.
And when we walked out of the theater, all he said was Tatanka. It's like that's all he remembered from it.
There's all a great one here. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's all right. I mean, you're more interesting. You go.
Well, I won't debate that, but I just wanted to put the Out of Towners with Jack Lemmon. Someone popped in with that.
Wow, okay, that's solid. I like that. A good thought. Zep, you're a Dakotan. Did you see Dances with Wolves, and did it feel like home?
You know, yeah. I mean, it was filmed out on the Hickman Ranch, a lot of it out there where my Uncle Johnny was a foreman for many years. In fact, my memory of that movie, of the making of that movie, was my dad was bass fishing out there at a water hole on the Hickman Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And my Uncle Johnny drives over. He says, hey, this Kevin Costner Hollywood kid's going to drive us all into town and buy us a big steak. And Dad said, no, I'm good. Fish are biting. So he wouldn't go have dinner with guy. I asked him if he ever regretted it, and he said the fish were biting. All right, Russ, I'm sorry, Dad. There's a priority there, but a good movie. It was a big deal. Brought a lot of attention to South Dakota. I watched it again recently, only about a half hour worth of it, and I thought it just seems super indulgent. Kevin Costner, just look at me. Look, I'm an actor. Don't you love me? And so I hate it.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, it's it was his first real shot, wasn't it? I mean, he directing himself. I mean, he had cashed in large on some big hits as an actor, and he went and he just he went for. Did he not win an Oscar for that?
Yeah, sure. Well, best picture.
He got best picture and best director, the big double shot there. And I don't hate it. It just
no, I know.
It just didn't really stand up for me like a lot of the other movies. You talk about The Godfather being a great movie. That's one you can watch every time and go, yep, it's still there. It's still solid. It still resonates. There was something I liked about it more this time than I even noticed last time. So that's, you know, there are those movies that are timeless. I don't know if I'd put Dances with Wolves in that category, although it was a fantastic film.
I think part of The Godfather's appeal, it's and not to get too hoity-toity, but it's just like your central nervous system understands real connections between people, or in this case, actors. Like, in large part, the wedding scene at the start of the movie, Coppola only had a couple days to shoot it. He literally gave everyone, they were drinking real wine, and he said, look, we're just going to walk around and film. This is a real, just pretend you're at a real wedding. Everyone just have a good time. And a lot of the stuff that's in that movie was, you know, you see people dancing and laughing and, you know, like putting little, you know, spilling wine on each other. It's all very real. They were just having a party. And it comes across. There's a very famous scene. You know, Luca Brasi, the hitman that works for The Godfather. The actor was really nervous about, he's not an actor, he's a professional wrestler, the guy that played Luca Brasi, who ultimately, of course, sleeps with the fishes. So Luca Brasi was the actor himself, his name was Lenny Montana, he was terrified to be in a scene with Marlon Brando. He was sitting on a bench rehearsing his lines.
So that's genuine.
And Coppola filmed the actor going, Don Corleone, it's a privilege to be in your house on the day of your daughter's wedding. He's going over his lines. That's an actor rehearsing his lines. Coppola used it as the hitman nervous about speaking to the Godfather. Like, it comes across very real, but it wasn't, that wasn't a scene in the movie until Coppola realized what he had captured. And that's a great example of the reality of just so many of those scenes are so human. When Sonny Corleone, James Caan, when he's beating up Carlo in the fight scene. There's an obvious punch that does not connect. It's totally not even misses. Close to connecting Carlo, but they left it in because the rest of the scene's so realistic. Mm-hmm. It's just little touches like that. Candace, on the Facebook page, what are we getting from listeners?
Yeah, so Joshua says Gladiator, Braveheart, Tombstone, Tina, Shawshank Redemption, Tom, Full Metal Jacket, and Christy, The Big Lebowski. And then I like this one. Greg says, my grandpa always told me that the best movie ever made was The Great Train Robbery.
Okay.
Well, it's
it certainly gets a lot of attention from the older, more discerning viewer, I would imagine. Going back, Shawshank Redemption, spectacularly able to watch that over and over and over again. Sure.
Dumb and Dumber, too. That's Janine.
Oh, you like the sequel better, huh?
Oh, no. I meant, no.
Dumb and Dumber, too?
No, yeah, I meant that like was, Dumb and Dumber, yeah, comma, superior. Too.
Dumb and Dumber. I haven't spent any time with the sequel to Dumb and Dumber, but that's not because I didn't like the first one. I laughed just as much as anybody at that one. Mm-hmm. I think the most laugh out loud moment to me was when the guy just takes a snowball and slams it into that woman's face.
That's my favorite scene.
From like 3 inches away. It's so unexpected.
Oh my God.
Well, but she started it.
Yeah.
See, I don't even remember the context. I just remember seeing that and going, like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Playfully threw one at him that he just wailed it in her face. Went to go see that movie with a guy who used to work here, a hilarious human being, Mike Doucette. Mm-hmm. There was nobody else in the theater except he and I. So we may have smoked a little item and took off our shirts and watched the movie and giggled like children.
No, it's stoned and shirtless is a great way to watch a movie, no matter what it is. I'd be willing to try watching The Godfather stoned and shirtless.
Sure.
Of course, if I'm watching The Godfather stoned, I'm going deep at the table too. I'm gonna eat a meal or two if I'm watching that movie stoned.
When Clemenza takes that forkful, that giant ball of pasta, and then the original, you just have to go and you have to go eat.
Man, I was on the road in 1993 in Oslo, Norway, and close to midnight, The Godfather came on, and my band's manager, Pete, and I sat there. We were like, oh, The Godfather's on. We look at it, and 5 minutes in, we just settle, like, I guess we're watching this whole thing now, a movie we'd already seen dozens of times. We watched the whole movie. It ends. It's 1:30 a.m. or so, and we're both like, we got to find some food. Mm-hmm. And we called down to the concierge, and we were like, is there any chance there's an Italian place open this late? And the guy goes, yeah, about a block away. Best in the city. They're open till 3. And we ran up the street for the 2 a.m. sit-down full meal, one of the great meals of my life. I don't even remember the food, but just the fact that we'd watched that whole movie and then rolled in and just the wine was flowing and the pasta was going and it was all good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it really was a fine moment. One last really quick thing. You mentioned Clemenza. Mm-hmm. His great line, take the cannoli. Leave the gun. Take the cannoli. That was improvised. That was not in the script. One of the, and Coppola, of course. Yeah, that's worth keeping in there. Oh, also, the horse's head was real.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's
right. That's a real horse head in the bed. Mm-hmm. Ho!
You were talking about the authentic use of wine, too, and Clemenza, again, at the wedding. He's dancing up a storm. He's just pouring sweat. He doesn't reach for some water. Takes a gallon of Chianti.
Yeah.
Throws it down.
It's gorgeous. We can talk Godfather. We'll talk films all day if you want, but there are other things to get into, I would have to imagine.
You know, there's this, which is Minnesota's most famous animal thing, which is trending today. Dan Patch? Is it Babe the Blue Ox? Ooh. Is it Gigi? We don't know. We're going to bat it around if you want to throw your two cents.
I'm going hard. I'm putting my thumb on the scale for Gigi Wheeler. I'll just tell you that right now.
Probably the winner. We'll find out here at 7:30. Hang tight.
It's the KQ Morning Show, 92 KQRS.
I'm Steve Gorman. This is the KQ Morning Show. Ozzy Osbourne, Mama, I'm Coming Home. And for those of us who return home to Minnesota, well, you know, there's a lot of animals that we know and love from this area. There's a bit going around social media. People are trying to determine the most famous animals from Minnesota, real and imaginary. Who are the most famous? Who are the most beloved animals? Now, as we mentioned before the last commercial break, Gigi Wheeler, of course, leading the votes around here. Candace, we all love little Gigi.
Yeah, I mean, she is famous in Candace's world, but I mean, I don't know if she's more famous than Snoopy.
Well, yeah, no, but see, Snoopy, he's a dog who lives on a, he's got a bird friend and he sleeps on a little doghouse.
No, Snoopy, my goat.
Oh, Snoopy, your goat. Oh, okay.
Does your goat fly us up with camel?
as far as real animals go, though, let me reset that. There's some imaginary animals that everybody's familiar with. Mm-hmm. Snoopy being, I think, primarily on that. Babe the Blue Ox, a lot of folks are aware of. But let's start with the real animals. Let's start with real live animals that have made their mark in Minnesota. The first thing I thought of when I heard this was the bullseye, the Target mascot dog. I just assumed he must be on the list, right? I mean, I didn't know, you know, much about him. I saw that his name was Bullseye. But what I thought was, well, there's that dog from the Target ads. He's a Minnesota guy, right? We all gotta give him a little something.
Yeah, I forgot about him. Right, sure.
Okay, that just shows I'm from out of town.
No, I mean, that's very astute and observant of you. I just forgot all about him now.
Yeah, he's forgettable.
Yeah, kind of a little.
Okay, but so here's
too
a question.
Commercial, Candace.
Yeah.
Candace, she's all about DIY famous animals. She's more punk rock. Yeah. I do want to ask you, are you guys familiar with the Carleton College cat?
Nope.
Anybody, does that ring a bell at all?
Before I saw this survey, I was not hip to the Carleton College cat.
Apparently, there was a cat named Toff. T-O-F-F, Toff. And at Carleton College, he's famous. He was just on campus for years, and they have postcards with his picture. There's a statue of the young cat at the library at Carleton College. So none of you are aware of that. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. What about the NPR raccoon?
NPR raccoon.
The raccoon. Okay, how about this? How about Sparky the sea lion? Surely Sparky the sea lion.
Sparky.
Oh, yes. Remember Sparky.
The Como Zoo?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, Mark from North Branch sent just that very thing, that some of the most famous animals are from Como Zoo or Minnesota Zoo, like Sparky the seal, Casey the gorilla, and if you guys remember, Dolly the beluga.
Oh, the white whale beluga? Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. I didn't. These are all new to me, but I'm excited to know there's a beluga in the vicinity.
Not anymore.
No, yeah, not
on her belly up.
Well, I'm retroactively excited that there was a beluga in the area.
I was going to say on Monday, it's really sad, though. Como Zoo announced that its beloved 23-year-old female giraffe, Daisy, passed away.
No.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Daisy. Right. But they are having a big barbecue.
Daisy, we hardly knew ye.
Oh, man. There was when I lived in Atlanta in the 90s, the Atlanta Zoo had a silverback gorilla named Willie B. And Willie B, he still is the face of these. He's no longer with us. He's still the face of the zoo. There's just certain animals that for whatever reason, people just really get attached to. Sure. And it's like, it's not because they marketed it. They marketed the animal that everyone else already noticed. It's a chicken or the egg thing in reverse. Or the chicken comes after the egg. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Willie B just sort of made sense to everybody down there for a long time. So Sparky the sea lion. Okay, we all at least remember Sparky the sea lion. Let's go to the imaginary animals, though, the made up animals. Mm-hmm. See, okay, here it is. I'll just put it on the table. Blast me all day long. If you had said to me, where's Charles Schulz from? I would have said Iowa.
Oh, you didn't know?
I knew it was Midwest, upper Midwest. For some reason, I associated he and the Peanuts gang with Iowa as opposed to Minnesota.
How dare you?
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I apologize. And I did put it together sometime last month. There was a Charles Schulz reference, and I was like, I'm not going to tell anyone I thought he was from Iowa. But now, there, it's on the table now. But I think Snoopy, worldwide, I think you'd go with Snoopy. But honestly, the first one I thought of was Babe the Blue Ox.
Yeah. I mean, Minnesota, really, as far as your imaginary animals, has some worldwide, certainly nationally known, iconic animals. I mean, when you talk about Babe and Snoopy, there's a few others out there, too.
The Hams Bear.
Yes.
Oh, that's another one. Until I moved here recently, I didn't realize Hams was from Minnesota. I'm very familiar with Hams and very familiar with the Hams Bear. He's a buddy of mine. There was days when I thought he was the only guy I could talk to.
Did he talk back, Steve?
Occasionally he did. And what he usually said, what he would say is, "You're about to throw up, Steve. Get to the bathroom real fast." 1987, me and Hams Beer were good friends.
Oh, hold your hair, Steve.
You're darn right about that. Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah, see?
Oh, yeah. There
you Frostbite go. Falls, Minnesota. Come on.
Correct.
Holy smokes. This state's full of fictional animals. Okay, am I saying this right? Peppy the Lake Monster?
Yeah. Peppy, yeah.
Peppy the Lake Monster from Lake Pepin.
Yeah, down there in Lake Pepin, Peppy the Lake Monster. I don't hear too much about it. It comes up from time to time. Somebody will mention it, but we haven't had. I don't know when, Peppy reigned supreme, kind of like the Loch Ness Monster, when people thought they were really seeing Peppy. But
yeah,
and I think that goes back a long time ago.
We had our own Loch Ness Monster in Minnesota. That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, I saved the best for last for Candace anyway. And I know you're going to argue that this is not actual. You're going to say this is not a fictional animal. Goldie Gopher.
Oh, Goldie. Good old Goldie.
You love Goldie.
I love Goldie. He's the best, man.
There's a certain timbre in your voice that only comes out when we're talking about Goldie Gopher on this show.
He's just the best mascot of all time.
See, there it is. That's the best mascot of all time timbre, I call it. It's just, there's such a warmth with Candace Wheeler when she talks about Goldie. I love that.
Our KQ listeners on the Facebook page are more realists than we are.
Okay.
John said the loon is the best Minnesota animal.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
And then Steve said the mosquito.
No. Steve.
Yeah. It's a state bird, isn't it?
I was told a few months ago. Mosquitoes aren't really a thing up here. I was lied to, is what you're telling me.
Who said that?
Oh, is it a real? Is it a real thing?
Yeah, they were setting you up, right?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've got to rethink this whole lake life then.
I will say last year they weren't as bad, and I don't know why.
Right.
But I did feel that.
Here comes a wet spring.
Yeah.
You know? So that's,
it's mosquito country then, is what you're telling me.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. Straight up, it's just a nightmare.
Yeah.
That's bad news for me. That's horrible news for my wife.
She allergic?
She's not allergic, but if you put me and Rosemary Gorman in a room in one of those test, like those off commercials where you see the hand go into the mosquito bin,
right.
If you put either of us in a room, I walk out unscathed. She is so delicious to the average American mosquito. They will bite me until she shows up, and then I will literally, we'll sit on a porch somewhere, and she'll be, oh my God, I'm getting destroyed. And I'm like, oh, I haven't had a single bite.
Uh-huh. Same with me and Rachel.
Oh man, that's rough.
Well, yeah, isn't she Italian?
Yeah, Priolo.
So is Rachel. There must be
that Calabrese blood, man. The mosquitoes, they get on that from a long ways away. That's going to change my entire view of the summer. Although I am looking very forward to life without crushing humidity. Tell me that it's not crushingly humid here in the summer.
Barely notice it. Really. It's a kind of a dry, atmosphere around here in the summer months.
I can't tell if you're being serious or not.
No, I'm not being serious. It's incredibly humid. That's what we're known for as well.
Not like in the South, though.
I was punking you down there.
This is I believe the mosquitoes. There's no way the humidity is going to compare to what I'm coming from in Tennessee.
Having spent some time down in that neck of the woods, I don't think it does. I don't think the humidity is as oppressive as it is down there, because you get it gets a bit warmer down there too. You know, that those two combining really.
I was told it was not. This is exactly what I was told by a Minnesotan who I now realize was clearly just jerking my chain. This is back before. This is when I was still in Nashville, like November. He said, "Well, you lived in L.A. It's kind of like that. It's really dry in the summer and no mosquitoes." And I thought, "Oh my God, I'm going to heaven on earth."
No, yeah, no, they were setting you up to knock you down.
This is truly spirit crushing right now. For the last like 2 months, I've been like, man, this is going to be awesome. Yeah.
Oh, you talk about mosquitoes. The spokesperson for Off Insect Repellent Spray, you mentioned that. Off,
yeah, sure.
Our own Babe Winkleman, famous Minnesotan. I mean, so that's how close to home that hits. When they were looking for a spokesperson off bug spray, they went straight to a famous Minnesotan because they knew he could sell it. By the way, a little fun fact about Babe Winkleman. His mom and dad wouldn't let him go out on tour when he was a teenager. Hell of a guitar player, but they wouldn't let him go out on tour with Johnny Winter.
What?
That is fun.
Yeah. Yeah, another fun fact. Yeah, I had a chance to interview him with this outdoor podcast. I think we had him on the morning show, Tony, didn't we? And I brought it up, and he actually pulled his guitar out, and he goes, "Oh, yeah, I pluck around a little bit, babe." But, yeah, he was like 16 or 17. No, I think he was 17 perhaps at the time, and Johnny Winter invited him to be a part of his band and go out on the road, and mom and dad said no.
Wow. I don't think Johnny Winter would have asked a hack to join him on tour.
Probably not.
I know a guy from Nashville named Gabe Dixon. He is now playing piano with the Tedeschi Trucks Band, which is as fine a live rock and roll band as you can see on the planet. Gabe Dixon has been kicking around for many, many years. Claim to fame that he doesn't see it like this, but what people always say when he walks in a room, that's the kid who at 18 years old got a call to come to L.A. and play on a Paul McCartney album. In like 2001, McCartney made an album. And the producer knew a bunch of young, hot shot musicians. One of them was Gabe Dixon. And McCartney said, "Find me some young guys that will then want to be my touring band." He goes, "I want to make a record with some new blood, and then I want it to be a band." That band is still McCartney's band to this day. It's the longest lineup he's ever played with. Gabe Dixon played on the album, turned 19, and then told Paul McCartney, "Nah, I'm good. I don't want to go on tour. I'm going to do my own thing." And he's been making his own music quite happily ever since.
Yeah. Well, but good for him.
Yeah, the rest of that band is still playing. That's McCartney's band since 2002. And Gabe Dixon's the guy who said, "Nah, I'm good, thanks." He had one big hit, "All Will Be Well," that was either on Parks and Rec or Community or one of those shows. But a great guy, great musician. He's never thought twice about it. Everyone else talks about it all the time. And he's like, "Yeah, whatever. I didn't want to be someone else's touring piano player." But now he's in Tedeschi Trucks, and he's a big part of that band sound. And if you ever go see him, you can say, like so many people have, "That's the guy who turned down Paul McCartney."
Well, that's a hell of a claim to fame, you know, just to walk around and be able to say that. There aren't probably many of those folks walking around.
I don't think there's a whole, there's the average, every now and again you meet someone who won the lottery, and every now and again you meet someone who turned down a Beatle. They are very, very few and far between.
Yeah, no kidding. Sorry about that. I was distracted by the KQRS Facebook page. I know we were talking there. I was just looking at some of these animals. The Saints pig that used to bring the balls out to the umpire. Somebody tossed that one in there. But
the what pig?
The St. Paul Saints, kind of our minor league team around here. It used to be a professional team. You had your chance. You could go see the Minneapolis, was it Millers, I believe, at the time, for the mills, you know, flour mills. And then you had the St. Paul Saints. They brought them back. Bill Murray and Mike Vec, I believe, brought the team back to Minnesota in that league. And they had a pig that, you know, and so it was all minor league hijinks out there. They had all that kind of kooky things to pull people out there in addition to playing baseball. And a pig was one of them that would bring the balls out. So, yeah, it's a famous Minnesota animal, had his time. Also, on the KQRS Facebook page, I'm looking at The Godfather, released on this day in 1972. Do you agree it is the best movie of all time? Get on the KQRS Facebook page. Let us know. Give us a call. Maple Grove Lock and Save Talking Text Line, 651-989-ROCK. We'll be talking about that and some other things coming up here at 8 o'clock. Oh, no, wait. Do we have the game show?
Yes,
Tony,
sir.
I blew it.
Right.
I blew it. No, I'm going to pivot
in there,
here.
Honey.
I'm going to save it right now on the Maple Grove Lock and Save Talking Text Line. Callers 9 and 2. You want to call 651-989-ROCK and play Disease, oh please. I just want to say it again. Disease, oh please. For a chance to win tickets to see The Cure, June 8th, Xcel Energy Center. Tickets going on sale Friday, 10 a.m. And our runner-up prize this morning, tickets to see Kenny Wayne Shepherd, March 19th at Mystic Lake Casino. 651-989-ROCK. Dial up. Good luck. And hang tight.
92 KQRS.
Davani's, your local pizza and hot hoagie joint in the Twin Cities, has been family-owned since 1975. With 20 convenient locations, they proudly employ 900 Minnesotans. Whether it's team gatherings, family meals, work lunches, or just craving familiar comfort food, Davani's is your trusted go-to. If you're looking for delivery, takeout, or somewhere to dine in, they've got you covered. Do you have a large group to feed? They're the large order experts you can count on. Order online at davani's.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wall.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
It's the KQ Morning Show, 92 KQRS.
I'm Steve Gorman. This is the KQ Morning Show for Wednesday, March the 15th. If you prefer the Ides of March, watch your back. Watch your back. Well, I mean, watch your back if you're a, you know, power-hungry, you know, dictator like Julius Caesar was. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's really a dictator, but he was calling the shots for all those guys.
He was a little feisty.
Yeah, he was making a grab for that whole Caesar thing, you know.
Yeah, well, it's his name. You know, he didn't have a chance. He had to go for it. You know what I mean? It was his birthright. Brutus saw otherwise, and now we have the Ides of March. Usually, the Ides of March, when I think of it, it's always tournament time, and I think it's the big upsets that we always get to enjoy in March Madness. You know, you got to beware of those. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to this weekend's tournament action. A whole bunch of teams I have yet to watch play this year, but I'll still be eating it up, drinking it up, and having a very good time. I will not have as much fun watching the tournament as I will have June 8th when I am at the Xcel Energy Center watching and listening and experiencing a band called The Cure, who I have enjoyed for years, going on 40 years since I first heard Boys Don't Cry. Mm-hmm. I am a card-carrying Cure fan, make no mistake about it. And as I just mentioned, they're here June 8th, Xcel Energy Center. We have some tickets to give away today. That's how much we care. That's how much we love you. We want you to join us for a Cure concert, for gosh sakes. And we have a couple callers on hold, ready to compete. Tony, today's game, please. What is it?
We're calling this disease or oh, please. Because we're giving away a Cure ticket. And what needs the cure, you say? Well, a disease. So,
oh.
Disease or please. We're going to give a description of a disease or condition. Then one of three choices is the correct answer.
I like it. Inside the twisted thicket that is the creative genius of Tony Lee.
That is a disease in and of itself.
It is a disease in and of itself. All right. I am excited to play disease or oh, please. And Candace, if you please, who is our first caller?
We have Brenda from Blaine.
Brenda from Blaine. Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning.
Are you ready to play disease or oh, please?
I am ready.
That's a good answer. I'm going to put you in the capable hands of Mr. Tony Lee.
I'm going to comfort you in my arms, Brenda. All right. We're going to give a description.
Nobody else can say that without it being a little creepy. When you say it's real, you're like, I got you, babe. We're going to do this together. We're a team. I love that.
Good. I'm going to use that more often. All right. I'm going to give you the description, and then you choose from one of three options, which it is. Okay.
Okay.
I didn't explain that very well, but I think you're ready. Number one, the effect of your skin turning spontaneously yellowish-orange in response to eating too many carrots is known as A, keratinosis, B, 24 keratonia, or C, sunny delightia.
The first one.
That is correct. Keratinosis. That's a real thing. My friend Mary Lynn used to eat too many carrots and her skin started to turn orange.
I didn't know if that was urban myth or rural myth or reality, mm-hmm. but apparently it is reality.
Dave Turner's sister, actually Dave Turner from Soul Asylum, my friend Mary Lynn. Orange. Too many carrots.
Didn't know we were getting Soul Asylum fun facts today. That's great.
How about that? Added bonus.
Oh, there's that song on that Japanese import called Carrot Girl. That's right. Maybe not. Sorry.
All right, doll number two. A painful form of inflammatory arthritis caused by a buildup of crystals in the joints, primarily the toe area, is known as A, Glockenspiel, B, Gorman, or C, gout.
What was the second one?
Gorman.
Nice.
No, it's C, gout.
Very good. You have a darling laugh.
I tell you, Brenda, if you'd said Gorman, it would have been okay because I did share with on the show last week. I was struck by the gout last fall. That's right. Gorman gout is a real thing. Anyway, Tony, back to you, sir.
You poor lad.
Oh, you have no idea the troubles I've seen.
Sounds awful. Number three. A respiratory ailment with a massive cough that resembles a whooping sound is A, Robitussin, B, Pertussis, or C, Gazpacho?
Robitussin?
Robitussin.
And what?
Pertussis or Gazpacho?
It's not Gazpacho. It's not Robitussin. Must be the other one.
Very good. B. Pertussis, also known as whooping cough.
Aren't you supposed to say whooping cough?
Whooping.
Yeah, the whooping cough.
Cool whip.
Cool whip. Cool whip.
All right, your last one, number four.
Done that.
Brenda could run the table if she gets this one right.
All right, Bren, good luck to you. Number four, characterized by blisters and lesions that come and go. Is it A, Haley-Haley syndrome, B, Wheeler-Wheeler syndrome, or C, B. Waybill syndrome?
What's the C?
Fee Waybill syndrome.
I'll say A.
Whew, she's a beauty.
She knows her diseases.
She's a beauty. She stayed away from Fee Waybill. See, he's the singer of the Tubes. You like that reference there?
No, bang, boom. I didn't know who was saying that.
Yes, sir.
Man, Brenda, 4 for 4.
I think I've had all of these in my family. At some
point. I'm sorry for your family members, but I'm glad you said in my family. I thought if you've had all four, my God, it's a miracle you made it to the phone.
I know.
All right, Brenda, strong start. Sit tight for a few minutes. Let's see how your competition does. Candace, who is number two?
Blaine from Malacca.
Blaine, good morning, Blaine.
Good morning. My name is Dwayne. D-U-A-N-E.
Candace.
Well, suffice to say, Dwayne is paying attention. Dwayne, it's a pleasure to have you on, sir. Thanks for calling in. Are you ready for disease or oh, please?
I'm ready. That's a tough act to follow, though.
That really is. Brenda brought her A game. Let's see what Dwayne's got. Tony?
You can step up, Dwayne. Number one, an infection that can destroy muscles, skin, and tissue, also known as flesh-eating disease. Is it A, necrotizing fasciitis, B, polarizing fascist, or C, unappetizing fish stickiest?
B.
Oh, my goodness.
That was wrong.
Boy, right away.
Dang.
My pick. That's the one I was going with. Yeah.
No one likes a polarizing fascist. But.
No.
Well, speak for yourself. I work for one.
The only disease I know is gonorrhea.
Yeah.
Dwayne, living large.
High five, buddy.
Living large.
You should have stuck with your name being Blaine after that comment.
Wow. All right, Dwayne, that's a story for another day, but you're still with us, and we're going to see, you know, it's all is not lost because we do have a runner-up prize. We just need to see if you can go 3 for 4.
Right. We'll whale through these quick like Dwayne.
Okay.
Number two, to actually catch this disease, you would have to travel to a remote region of New Guinea, find a carrier of the disease, and eat their brain. It's true. Is it A, Hannibal Lectoria, B, Stupid Zombies 4, or C, Kuru disease?
C.
Correct. That's a true thing. Scary.
I got a lot of Googling to do.
Dwayne, number three, inflammation of the lining of the rectum, common in those with Crohn's or colitis, sexually transmitted infections, or a side effect of radiation. Is it A, bootylicious, B, proctitis, or C, anus painus?
B.
Yes. All right, one more for you. Symptoms typically include poor coordination and balance, enlarged head circumference, and brain swelling. Is it Dandy Walker syndrome, B, Johnny Walker Red syndrome, or C, Walker Texas Ranger syndrome?
A.
Attaboy, Dwayne, the bathtub.
Bang. That's pretty strong. That's pretty strong, Dwayne. Three out of four after you stumbled out of the gate, but all is not lost. You, sir, have won tickets to see Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Nice.
March 19th at Mystic Lake Casino.
Cool.
Congratulations. But it's all about Brenda today. Brenda showed up on the Ides of March and said, hey, get out of my way. I'm going to see The Cure. Congratulations, Brenda. Well done.
And I'm going up to the St. Patty's Day Parade in Cross Lake. I'm getting all packed up, leaving today.
Woo!
Yes! You know what it's good to be right now? It's good to be Brenda right now. Got a St. Patty's Day Parade getting ready for her. She's got Cure tickets June 8th. Thank you for listening. Thanks for calling, and congratulations, Brenda.
Oh, thank you. I forgot to tell you that my maiden name was Rock, and the Stones lived behind us, and the Pebbles moved to St. Cloud.
What now?
Where was Bam Bam?
Wow. The Stones live behind you. That again.
Our last name was Rock. The Stones, Rock. We shared a backyard with the Stones.
The Stones, got it.
And then our friends that live a few blocks away, the Pebbles, they moved to St. Cloud.
Oh, man. You had it for a minute there. It was Camelot, wasn't it? It was perfect in the neighborhood. Brenda, thanks so much. Travel safe to the parade and have a great time at The Cure.
Thank you so much. Happy
you got it.
Patty's Day.
Thanks. In Severna Park, Maryland, when I was a kid, we had a set of neighbors down the street. There were the Knowles and the Webbers. They were right across the street from each other. And our neighbors, the Webbers, one year in December, they put up, people putting out Christmas lights and stuff. And they had big lit up letters. They put it on their roof and they put up the four letters Noel with lights. No, N-O-E-L. Well, the neighbors directly across the street, their last name was Noel, N-O-E-L. So the Webbers had the word Noel on their roof. My brother and another neighborhood kid built W-E-B-E-R. They put the same size, like 6 foot tall letters. They cut them out of wood, Weber, and put Christmas lights on them and mounted them on the Knowles roof one night with them not being aware. Two houses faced each other. One said Noel and big lights, and the other said Weber. That's good 70s hijinks right there.
Confusing to pilots.
And we were right near BWI. They flew right over the house all the time.
Oh, man.
At that time, it was called Friendship Airport, of course. Ooh. Any Marylanders are like, it wasn't called BWI back then, man. You're right. It was Friendship Airport. That's good stuff. Not quite Rock, Stones, and Pebbles, but it was close.
It's the KQ Morning Show. 92 KQRS.
I'm Steve Gorman. This is the KQ Morning Show. That song, of course, by a band from London, England called The Outfield. A very unusual career trajectory. They were big in the States and had very little success ever in their home country of England. That is really hard to do. A lot of English bands, a lot of British bands have great success at home and don't make a dent over here. It's very, very rare that the opposite is true, but that was the case with The Outfield. And in fact, they began their career as the Baseball Boys. That's what they called themselves.
Baseball Boys.
They were fans of the movie The Warriors.
Oh,
the gang movie, remember?
Warriors.
Yeah.
Come out and play.
Come out to play. And so a bunch of British guys who knew nothing about baseball thought the Baseball Boys sounded cool. But this was late 70s. Punk rock was all the rage. They couldn't get arrested because they sounded like The Outfield. Took a little break, came back. But when they started getting label interest, people at the label said, that baseball thing's interesting. It's an American-sounding name. They ended up sticking with The Outfield. The guys in the band never saw a baseball game until they already had a giant hit record and came to America, and they went to see a game. And they were like, yeah, we don't know what's going on out there.
They don't bounce it in.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why aren't we taking a break for tea with this? But, yeah, pretty fascinating. They thought, yeah, it'll help us in America if we're called the outfield. And with that in mind, I'm just going to go ahead and name, I'm going to start a band and call it Methven. Because there's a town in New Zealand called Methven, and I really want to live there one day. So maybe if I have a band called Methven, that'll open enough doors with a label down in New Zealand. Make it happen. Gorgeous little number in the South Island. That's how that works. So they weren't American, but you know they knew what it take to they knew what it took to get attention in America. Francis Ford Coppola, over 50 years ago, read a book called The Godfather by Mario Puzo and immediately said, I've got to make this a film. I understand the Italian-American experience. I need to be the man to turn this into a film. The author, Mario Puzo, agreed. They got a deal put together to make this film. And then Francis Ford Coppola, several times during filming, was fired by the studio and then rehired. Zep, I believe you said Meatballs would be a preferable viewing yeah. experience. And again, I love me some Meatballs, so yeah.
Or Porky's, maybe.
Porky's. Now, yeah. That is a snapshot in time right there.
I guess if I had a dollar Porky's. For every time I watched that movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Learned so much.
Yeah, certain there was a time in my life I'm sure I could have told you exactly 27 minutes and 9 seconds. That's where you want to add in Porky's. Like, what's that?
Lassie.
Oh God.
Lassie.
What's the matter with Lassie, Candace?
Are you kidding? It's what? The worst.
In
the
Lassie?
Movie? Worst movie of all time.
Porky's.
Lassie.
Lassie is a reference to Porky's.
Oh.
The Howler, the gym teacher. No, you don't remember that scene.
Nope, apparently, never I know seen the movie.
We've all got a lot of catching up to do. Candace, probably, there's a whole set of films, listen to me, movies from the 70s and 80s. Late Animal House really kicked open all the doors. Everybody needed an Animal House kind of. That's Porky's wouldn't exist without Animal House. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, the Porky's franchise. That's one you want to get all over, Candace, or maybe not. It's a swing. It's a hit or a miss with just about any viewer. Mm-hmm. But we've been asking folks for what would you say is the movie you can't turn away from, and so many great things have been suggested. And I want to go back to one thing you mentioned, Tony. Mm-hmm. You threw out in your top three. You said broadcast news, yes. and I'm going back to it just to say. I think that movie stands up as well as anything. The comedy, a lot of comedy from the 80s is immediately, it does feel dated now, or it doesn't work with the modern comic sensibility. The editing has certainly changed in films. Things are way quicker now. But man, I saw Broadcast News less than a year ago, and I was astonished at how well if it came out today, it would make perfect sense.
It's just perfectly cast, and you can identify with everyone. It's charming and funny and insulting.
It's everything you need. Love make it. No mistake about that. We've had a few calls, people calling in talking about The Godfather. It's movies are an endless source of, you know, speculation and argument and all that stuff. And just like with music, your opinion is right. That's the good thing about it. What's the best movie of all time? Everybody's right. Well, except for the Detroit Rock City. I don't know about that one, but but that's the good thing about it. Everybody's right, and I love to think about this. But The Godfather, like so many great pieces of art, if you will. Coppola was fired several times. Michael Corleone, Al Pacino, regularly questioned by the studio. They really wanted Robert Redford. They did not want this Broadway actor nobody'd ever heard of named Al Pacino. They were insistent he not play the part. He was only 25, I believe, when he was cast. Wow. 26 when it was shot. That's a young man stepping up right there, man. Mm-hmm. And with a step stool, he's a little fella.
Well, that's why it was so menacing, too, because of his youth and how quickly he became jaded and evil.
It's an astonishing turn. And then in the second Godfather, even more so, just to watch that, you know, it's almost like Breaking Bad. You know, you take this kid, you take a really good, happy-go-lucky war veteran who's trying to avoid the family business, and then suddenly, you know, when the turn happens, it just never slows down. He just ramps up and up and up. So much about those films, the two Godfather movies, that just captivate to this day. generations of moviegoers around the world. I was on Lake Tahoe in 2014 on a boat cruising around, and the guy said the magic words. That's the Corleone compound from Godfather 2 right there.
Cool.
Right there on Lake Tahoe. And I said, well, you have to get closer because I got to take pictures. And he said, yeah, they don't like that. And I said, I don't care. I'm going to be that guy for once in my life. I'm going to be the douchey tourist who pulls out his phone and takes a bunch of photos of someone's private residence. Listen, yeah. You buy the Godfather 2 house, you're going to have some photos.
Yeah, it's right, the first thought I had when I met a guy at Cowboy Jack's from Lake Tahoe. That was the first thing that came to my mind.
Really?
I'm going to get to that mansion.
And then you made out.
What about Godfather 3? How's that rank?
I thought it was perfect because of the perfect
Better
way.
Than 1 and 2?
No, but I think it was the perfect.
Slightly?
No, I think it was the perfect ending.
Dad?
And I actually enjoy Sofia Coppola.
Cottrell. Sofia Cottrell, isn't
Andy
it?
Andy Garcia is a gem, okay?
I was going to say, just get to the point, Candace. You're an Andy Garcia gal. Yeah.
God, who's not?
Sofia Coppola, really, you know, and for Godfather 3, originally supposed to be, if I'm not mistaken, Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder, right.
She pulled out at the last minute for quote, exhaustion. And and then Sofia Coppola, who was in all three Godfather films.
As a baby
in number one, as a toddler in number two, and then as the daughter, as Michael's daughter in the third. I saw it the day it came out, Christmas Day, 91, rushed to the theater, or 92, whichever year it was, in Sumter, South Carolina, went to see Godfather 3 the day it was released, walked out underwhelmed. I mean, I was moved at the end. I did not enjoy watching Michael expire. That still broke my heart, even though some of the George Hamilton in place of Robert Duvall.
That was weird.
Really weird. Not happy about that. But I've never seen it since. I've never watched it. I see it on sometimes, and I'll be like, oh, I kind of remember that scene, but I should probably give it a rewatch. If for no other reason than just to bask in the warm ocean that is Andy Garcia's deep brown eyes, right, Candace?
And hairy chest.
Zaza.
You're weird. I have to watch them all together. I can't just watch one. I gotta watch them all.
That makes for a long day.
Yeah, well, I don't have a life.
the winters, they don't exactly blow by quickly around here. We got time for all three Godfathers. I'm going to add one more film to my list on the all-time. Okay, these are mine. You know, I said both Godfathers. I think I mentioned Dazed and Confused, a movie I love. Miller's Crossing from the Coen Brothers, a great, entirely different type of organized crime caper, if you will. This is not on my all-time list, but it's something I think about it more often. I'm always surprised at how many times it just jumps to the front of mind. Did anybody see Sexy Beast with Ben Kingsley?
Yes. Yeah. Did he win an Oscar? No, I know he won an Oscar for Gandhi. Did he win an Oscar for that one?
He should have. As menacing a character as there's ever been on camera. Oh. It's a British gangster film, but it's a heist film, if you will. It's got Ben Kingsley. It's got Ian McShane. And then another big actor you've seen in a bunch of stuff. I can't think of his name. Sexy Beast, set in London and in Spain. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
An incredibly... just the first time you watch it, it's like an adrenaline shot. You can't ever forget Ben Kingsley in this movie. One of the most evil, insane characters of all time. Yeah,
but he could play that character and Gandhi. Well, Ben Kingsley, I think maybe boy, here's a whole different show, right? The finest actor ever. I mean, because he completely absorbs and changes.
Sure.
Sometimes you have to go, oh, that's Ben Kingsley, because he's so he so personifies the character that he's playing. I loved him in that movie. That was great. That wasn't a Guy Ritchie movie, though, was it?
I don't think it was. No. I think Guy Ritchie has certainly seen it, and I think Guy Ritchie took a few had a few ideas and some inspirations from it, for sure.
Did you ever see Layer Cake with Daniel Craig?
Yeah.
Another
underrated, fantastic.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. There's so many. We talk so much more about TV these days in the age of prestige TV and all the great TV shows that we can stream and binge watch. But for my money, still, I will sit down. A movie that just tells the whole story in 2 hours, 2.5 hours tops. Nothing better than a perfectly constructed film. It's still is my favorite thing. I love The Sopranos. I love The Wire. I love a show called Patriot. I love my TV shows. I really love The Last of Us right now. Not seen the finale yet. Zep, did you watch the finale of The Last of Us yet?
Wow, man. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Just wild, man.
Okay. Oh, really? Really? All right.
After I watch every one of those last, I go back. I've seen every episode a few times.
Yep. Yep.
Haven't been able to go back and rewatch this one yet.
Uh-oh. I have been, anytime if I look at Twitter, if I see anything surfing the web that mentions that, I turn away because I knew I was going to be a few days late to it. I'm looking very forward to that. But as much as I love that, anything, boy, but give me a great movie, start to finish, all in one shot, and I am a very happy camper. The Godfather, 51 years old today. There you have it. Congratulations to everyone involved, and congratulations to us for being alive at the time of The Godfather.
Zep and I are both suckers for any Wes Anderson movie.
Oh, yeah. Love me a Wes Anderson movie. In fact, that's my daughters and I. You know, I think I might have even started it. No, because Bottle Rockets was the first one, and I didn't watch that with my daughters. And what a great introduction to Owen Wilson, or the Wilson brothers, but Owen in particular. I had no idea who he was. Never saw him before.
Just poof,
there he was on the screen, being Owen Wilson. Bottle Rocket.
92 KQRS.
Davani's, your local pizza and hot hoagie joint in the Twin Cities, has been family-owned since 1975. With 20 convenient locations, they proudly employ 900 Minnesotans. Whether it's team gatherings, family meals, work lunches, or just craving familiar comfort food, Davani's is your trusted go-to. If you're looking for delivery, takeout, or somewhere to dine in, they've got you covered. Do you have a large group to feed? They're the large order experts you can count on. Order online at davani's.com.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
It's the KQ Morning Show, 92 KQRS.
I'm Steve Gorman. This is the KQ Morning Show. That was Steeler's Wheel, stuck in the middle with you. Steeler's Wheel from the awesomely named Paisley, Scotland. A folk duo, if you will. The guy singing, Jerry Rafferty, who later went on, of course, with the song Baker Street, Riot, right down the line, several big hits. Jerry Rafferty, that song stuck in the middle with you. When I was a kid, one summer at the pool, it was a staple on the lifeguard's AM transistor radio. I went years without hearing it and then walked into a movie called Reservoir Dogs.
Yes.
And I watched Michael Madsen torture a police officer with a straight razor to that song. And I've never heard it the same way since. One of the all-time most impactful uses of a song in film. Whew, I wonder if you're in Steeler's Wheel and you're like, yeah, we got this great song. It was a hit for us, changed our lives. And 25 years later, you're like, and then a guy put it in a movie where someone got his ear sliced off slowly.
Did that little dance, and then Michael Madsen holds the ear up.
Oh, that's right.
Ear. Hello?
Oh, remember, my. It's
remember the radio station?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Hey, Billy, host of Sounds of the 70s.
That's right. Man, Tarantino had it all going on in his first film. But let's talk comedy, shall we? Johnny Beaner is at the Laugh Camp Comedy Club in St. Paul, Friday night, 8 p.m., and Saturday night at 7 p.m. Johnny Beaner is joining us right now on the KQ Morning Show. Johnny, what's the first concert you ever went to see, like on your own, not getting dragged by your parents, but the first cool concert you and your friends went to?
First of all, I do like the transition of police slowly having his ear cut off. Let's shift gears into comedy.
Yeah, sure.
But to answer your question, I would say I don't know if this counts as a little of column A, a little of column B. I was dragged with my friend's parents, but we went and saw Guns N' Roses Use Your Illusion tour in Omaha, Nebraska when I was in fifth grade. And we had to leave early because it was too loud for his parents.
Oh, but still, that's an awesome first concert.
Yeah. So that was super exciting. I mean, that was a long we were still there for probably, you know, over 2 hours.
Yeah.
So that was my first experience with live music. So that was pretty good.
That's pretty fantastic. Was there any moment in time, do you remember during that concert when you looked around and actually kind of got a little scared? Like, you know, the riffraff at a Guns N' Roses show in the early 90s.
Not really, because we did not have the greatest seats, so we were kind of up, you know, we weren't in the pit or in the front, we were up in the, because it was, you know, it was an arena.
Sure.
So we were up in seats, and I was next to my buddy, and then his parents were on the other side, so I didn't, nothing really shook me at that concert.
Was there a moment?
What's funny is I did.
Go ahead.
I got a souvenir, I bought a necklace, like a Guns N' Roses necklace. Because it had like the Guns N' Roses like little, you know, cloth thing where it says their name, and it was just like a metal chunk, and I thought it looked cool. And then the next day at school, I realized that it was the emblem that's in the liner notes of a topless lady. And so I just kind of, I basically sold it to another friend because I was like, well, I'm a fifth grader, I can't wear a naked lady around me. So I just didn't realize that with what it was when I bought it, because it was, you know, it's like made out of metal.
That's fantastic. Johnny Biener's with us on the KQ Morning Show. He's at the Laugh Camp Comedy Club in St. Paul this weekend. Was there ever a moment between that concert and before you thought comedy might make sense where you did think to yourself, yeah, maybe I'll pick up a guitar or sit at a drum kit? Was there a musical moment in your life, or did you just go right past that?
I was forced to play piano, and so I played that for a while, and I wanted to play guitar really badly. And my uncle had an acoustic guitar, so he gave it to me to learn guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started taking lessons, but I got so frustrated because I was not super awesome right away that I got angry and smashed the guitar.
Hey.
And so that didn't end well. But then I picked up a guitar when I was in college and kind of self-taught, so I can play like, you know, 3 Tom Petty songs, and that's where I'm at now. That's where I've stayed.
That 3 Tom Petty songs is better than 2 Tom Petty songs. So, you know, you got that going for you. So what are the events that lead to you then deciding to do the completely insane thing, which is I'm going to get on stage with a microphone and entertain strangers, because stand-up comedy is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, I did an open mic in, I was living with my brother in New York, right after high school, and he did an open mic, and I just thought that was the coolest thing. I'd always been a fan of stand-up comedy, and I'd done like theater stuff in high school,
mm-hmm.
so I was not new to performing, but I was like, oh, that just seems like the greatest, because I've always been, you know, a fan of comedy, and so I tried it, and after the first time I did it, I was just hooked. And, you know, I knew that's what I wanted to do after the first time I did it.
How was the transition, or I don't know if it was a transition necessarily, maybe it was first, but I know you've done improv theater, Second City as well as Upright Citizens. Is that a difficult world in a different way? Like, is there almost a competitive feeling, or did you find that to be super collaborative, or was it both?
It is both, because when you're on stage, it's very collaborative. But as far as career-wise, I mean, I just felt like, you know, oh, that's like, you know, trying to become a rock star from scratch. It just seems so far away. So it's like, I did that because I enjoy doing it, because I love doing improv. But I think that with stand-up, I was so drawn to that because it was like, well, I can do whatever I want. And it completely 100% relies fully on me. And I'm more of a, you know, preparation guy anyway. So improv is very fun. But as far as career, I think stand-up for me was more viable.
Sure.
And so you can do whatever you want on stage.
Johnny Biener's with us. You're going to be doing that on stage St. Paul this weekend at the Laugh Camp Comedy Club. I don't know if you've noticed this, Johnny, but Friday you're going to go on stage in St. Paul, Minnesota. And it's also St. Patrick's Day.
I just realized that yesterday. And I even did on Saturday, this past Saturday, I did a Shamrock Shuffle run because I've gotten into running, and I still didn't put together when St. Patrick's Day exactly is. So I gotta figure out something. I have a couple days to figure out something to.
I acknowledge that
on stage.
I have a feeling that the audience will be bringing some content along, whether they mean to or not.
Yep. I'm sure you're right. I'm sure they probably will, and they don't even know it yet.
How's your accent? Hey, Johnny, I see here that you're from Minneapolis, but I was looking at your bio on the Laugh Camp comedy page here, and I see here that you worked for a website. It was one of the first websites that showed me the true potential of the internet and how much fun we could have on the internet, and that was The Chive. You worked at The Chive. I just recently watched a documentary on National Lampoon magazine, and I liken working for a website like The Chive to National Lampoon. Any parallels there?
I'm not sure what, I don't know if you're looking at the feature. I think you might be looking at the feature because I am from Nebraska.
Oh. All right. Sorry. So my bad. I tried. Back to you, Steve.
So, Johnny, growing up in Peru, let's talk about that.
Right. Yes. There we go. Someone did their homework.
So you're from Nebraska then. I guess you still pine for the old Tom Osborne, big offensive line Cornhusker days, huh?
Oh, sure. I've never been a sports guy, but when I'm asked, oh, what's your favorite team? You got to go Cornhuskers just because I'm obligated to.
It is an obligation. We understand that. So are you like a lot of stand-up comedians? Do you think about things like going into TV? Are you also looking to act or do other things, or is stand-up your primary focus?
You know, stand-up is my primary focus, and I relate a lot to, my favorite comedian is Brian Regan, and he's always said, you know, that stand-up is just like, that's the goal, and that's where I'm at. I would love to do, you know, I would love to do TV or, you know, or something in a movie with the end result of, oh, well, that would bring people into my stand-up shows. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not like doing stand-up to get into that. I would do that to try to improve my drawing power.
Got it.
But yeah, stand-up is definitely the passion and the end game.
That makes perfect sense. Twin Cities, I imagine you spent some time here. What's on the agenda? Is there anything you like to do? Well, or basically generally when you're on the road anywhere, do you have a daily routine or do you just get up and figure out each town as it goes?
I get up, I find where the nearest McDonald's is, and I see what the McDonald's in that city is like in each of the cities I go to. And then I see what it's like to watch TV in my hotel room in each city that
right.
I go to.
Sure.
So it's just kind of a really unique experience no matter where I go.
Oh, that's beautiful. I've got I spent some time on the road with a band from Wales. And I said, you guys are touring the world one Irish pub at a time, every day off. Just find the Irish pub. That was it. Hey, whatever works, man.
Exactly.
Johnny Beaner. Sorry. Go ahead, Johnny.
Stories. I don't have the most exciting road stories, but I have fun when I'm on stage.
Johnny will be at the Laugh Camp Comedy Club, St. Paul, Friday night, St. Patrick's Day, 8 p.m., Saturday night, 7 p.m. Tickets are still available. Johnny, thanks for calling in, brother.
Thanks so much, Steve.
All right, we'll see you. A legal update, guys. This is important.
All right.
A Chicago man has filed a class action lawsuit against Buffalo Wild Wings.
How dare you?
Exactly. The claim is this. He's upset that Buffalo Wild Wings falsely advertises its boneless wings as the real deal. My man is saying that's not true. It's not the real deal. They're nothing more than chicken nuggets.
Well, now, but the original.
This is a real person with some semblance of a life and the ability to contact lawyers who is filing this. When he found out their boneless wings weren't deboned chicken wings, he said, I wouldn't have purchased them had I known, and I certainly wouldn't have paid these outrageous this sum of money for this. He said he suffered a financial injury due to the restaurant's false and deceptive conduct. Also, again, totally real. In his lawsuit, he compares Buffalo Wild Wings to other fast food restaurant chains like Papa John's and Domino's, noting that both companies sell products like Buffalo Wild Wings boneless wings, but they do not call them as such. Buffalo Wild Wings has responded. They downplayed it. They literally tweeted, "It's true. Our boneless wings are all white meat chicken. Our hamburgers contain no ham.
What?
And our buffalo wings are 0% buffalo."
That's
yeah,
funny.
Buffalo yeah. sauce isn't from the squeezins of buffalo.
Well, okay, the word squeezins never need be repeated.
Right. Squeeze that, milk that buffalo sauce
all right,
for
so
me.
Here's the thing. I agree with, I understand why he's upset because I also think you should always eat a buffalo wing with the bone. I think they're nasty.
Sure.
I think boneless wings are nasty.
Right.
Got
but,
that.
I mean, how dumb can you be? Like, it. How you're just stating the obvious. Just shut up and go away.
The Journey song, "Lovin', Touchin', and Squeezin's," takes on a whole new meaning to me now.
Yeah.
That was always such a frustrating song because, you know, at the end of that song, it kind of ramps up with the na-na-na-na-nas, na-na-na-na. It's building. That song started as a slow dance number in middle school dances.
Mm.
And then by the end, I just remember many times, you're just like, do we separate now and kind of rock out a little bit? How do we finish this song? It starts like, we're getting some moves on. But then as it just rolls, and by the time those na-na-na's are really raging and at the last one, the acapella one, you're like, you're pumping your fists. You're 5 feet away from your date. It was always a weird moment for me at the dance.
Yeah, so you get to freestyle.
Yeah,
that's it. Everybody on a cue. It's always like it's that ninth measure of the third chorus. Go, separate and freestyle.
Well, I don't know if you guys ever have change laying around, coins I'm talking about. I
sure.
haven't had a coin in years, but some people, they're out there.
I got a pail of coins.
Yeah, do you?
I haven't looked through it in forever, but there's still some in there.
When you get home today, dump them out on the living room floor and start looking for a Wisconsin State quarter. That quarter could be worth 5,000 smackers, but it's got to be a specific Wisconsin quarter. They're out there. We'll tell you what to look for at 9:30. Hang tight.
It's the KQ Morning Show, 92 KQRS.
I'm Steve Gorman. This is the KQ Morning Show. That was Rush with Limelight. Neil Peart, the drummer for Rush, famously not a man who loved being in the limelight, ran from fame. But then, of course, he wrote a song called Limelight, which served to make him more famous than ever. That's kind of how that works sometimes. Fame can be a vicious mistress. You never know when someone recognizes you. You never know. I think about Neil Peart. You know, there'd be people giving him that look, and he would always know, like, oh, God, there's a Rush fan. You know, because there's a special kind of guy. I'm reminded of a guy named Dick Bass. This is a man who has some tremendous notoriety in the climbing community. Dick Bass, in a certain world, a very famous fella. His achievements include he's the first person to climb the highest peak on each of the seven continents. Wow. Okay. He also is the oldest guy to summit Mount Everest. By now, maybe someone has already summited that was older, but when he did it, he was 55. And for a long time, he was by far the oldest person to have ever summited Everest. And Dick Bass himself told the story for years of getting on a flight from L.A. to the East Coast, long flight, sitting next to a gentleman in first class. And they started chatting, and Dick Bass, as he was wont to do, started regaling with his stories of, I've climbed Everest, I've done this, I almost died in the Himalayas on three occasions, I had to be rescued by my Sherpa. He's spinning yarn after yarn, and the guy next to him seems very friendly and interested, doesn't say much. The flight is literally up on approach, and Dick Bass goes, hey, I never even told you my name, I'm Dick Bass. And the gentleman sitting next to him said, good to meet you, Neil Armstrong.
Oh, how cool. So you've been
That's
up high.
Awesome.
True story.
Yeah.
Like, hey,
yeah.
Read the room.
Right?
when you funny. Talk about almost dying at the top of Mount Everest, and the guy next to you goes, huh, yeah. That's something. Oh. You might want to say to yourself, who is this person who's not impressed?
A little hill.
That's going to be my answer anytime I'm with kind of like a braggart. And they said, oh, what's your name? I'm going to say, I'm Neil Armstrong.
That's pretty good. Chances are they won't know that Neil Armstrong is no longer with us.
The oldest climber set the record at 80 years old in 2013.
Oh, but you won our good grief.
That's
school
amazing.
Kids can do it. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. My wife, who's now lives a life of true crime, for a while she was living a life of adventure shows, and we were watching one of those series about the Everest ascents. Mm-hmm. It followed an Australian, or maybe he's a Kiwi guy that runs a company that brings people to Everest, and it was a fascinating show. I think it was on Nat Geo. But what the guy noticed was the more popular it became, you would have the least, the unlikeliest folks on earth would be like, I think I could do that. And you'd have a guy who's like, well, I had my knee replaced and I was never much of an athlete, but I really thought I needed to challenge myself. And and then you watch these buffoons. It's like, dude, you have no idea. Like, there are people who've dedicated their lives to climbing and they're on Everest forever because we can't remove the bodies. But you with your new knee and a couple of yoga classes, you think you're going to make it? Man, that stuff is phenomenal to me. I leave Everest to the Everest people. That's not my bag at all, baby.
Yeah, I like a good thrill, but anything that requires climbing through a death zone, just probably is a little. That's a couple of notches higher than I want to notch.
You know what would always turn me off about Mount Everest? Not that I was ever considering it. It's the fact that they always say it's not getting there; it's getting down from there. Like most people, for the number of people that do expire, a lot of them have summited. It's not about getting to the top. It's about, can you get to the top and then get back down?
I got up there, I would fake a knee injury to see if one of those studs could carry me down. Get a couple of Sherpas over here. I got, my trick knee. Just what a lousy time.
Yeah, that's a bad time. There's a little bit closer to home. You could feel as if you summited Everest. That would be if you look in your pocket and pull out a Wisconsin state quarter from 2004. Can you remember every state has their own quarter?
Yeah.
That was really cool for a while. I remember like getting the new quarters and looking at it and being excited. I haven't thought about this in a while because to your point, Zep, we don't even very seldom do we have change in our pockets anymore. I can't remember the last time I checked out a quarter to see if it was one of the new ones or if it was a design I'd never seen. But correct me if I'm wrong. There's a 2004 quarter from Wisconsin that apparently has an extra something on it, an extra leaf of the corn husk.
Yeah. First of all, why do you have corn on the Wisconsin quarter? More of a Nebraska or an Iowa thing, maybe even Minnesota. But I know they plant a lot of corn over there. I'm not arguing that. I'm just not quite sure what the decision-making process was there. But yeah, it has an extra leaf. Instead of four, it has five or three or four. I don't know. I'm not looking at it right now. But yeah, then it's worth, you know, then it's a screw-up at the mint, and it's worth $5,000 depending on what kind of shape it's in.
So you've got a cow, you've got a wheel of cheese. I get both of those to your point. Yeah, the corn being the third element of this.
They do grow a lot of corn over there, true, but I don't know. It's not the first thing I think of. I would have put like a beer keg on there or something.
I to your point, yes, exactly. Cheese and beer.
What if somebody lost their job over it embossing an extra leaf? You idiot, you're through.
Yeah, they did. And he also, and then he took a box of them home, and they're all worth five large right now, and he's feeling like the king of the world.
You know, and here's the thing. People don't want to do this, but now anytime I'm just, if you run across a quarter, you're going to, now, because it might be worth $5,000, you're going to check and see if it's a Wisconsin quarter, how many leaves are on the corn. What did they say this morning? Is it three or four? Now I've got to Google it. We're going to screw up a lot of people's day here.
Yeah, well, check them out. 2004 Wisconsin, you very well might be sitting on $4,000 or $5,000 right in your pocket. Oh, by the way, I'm going to go backwards. One last note on Mount Everest, not about anybody who's climbed it. The height of Mount Everest was calculated for the first time in 1865. Surveyors for the first time came up with the height, and it was exactly 29,000 feet. Exactly. And so they listed it originally. They said, we will say the official height is 29,002 feet because the surveyors, the scientists said, if we put 29,000, everyone will assume we just round it off.
That's true.
So they added 2 feet in the original number just for that reason. They did it several times. They kept going, by gum, this son of a bitch is exactly 29,000 feet. Who could have imagined it? I actually doubt that was their accent. There was probably more like, why, we've got 29,000 feet exactly. I can't believe it. That's actually my George Martin. That's a whole different thing.
And the Beatles just about had an album named Everest. Remember, they wanted to fly him over Everest and take a picture. What I love about that is maybe it was the record company or some promoter or something like that. At that time, they were their own.
No, it was Abbey Road. They were the original working title was Everest. That's
Everest.
Right.
They wanted to fly him over Everest, take a picture of him flying over Everest, and that was going to be the album cover.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, one in every 100 flights didn't make it over Everest, and you were going to chance that with the frickin' Beatles? Good call.
That's where the George Martin comes in. Why don't we rethink this? Instead, why don't you just walk outside and take a picture crossing the lane?
Yeah.
Make it much simpler.
Right.
That, by the way, the studio was always EMI Studios. It was never called Abbey Road Studios.
Right.
The album came out, and then, of course, things changed as they do. We spent an awful lot of time today talking about The Godfather, released on this day, the Ides of March, March 15th, 1972. A lot of fun facts, a lot of trivia. The Godfather's 1 and 2 considered to be the height of cinema by so many filmgoers. I love those movies as much as any others. And I would like to ask everybody really quickly, just we're going to go out on a little movie trivia here, if that's okay. And I want to put this to you, Zep, first, okay?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
7 different actors have played James Bond.
Mm.
Can you name all 7? Just give me who you got.
No, I can't. You know, I've got Sean Connery.
Sure.
You know, and then Roger Moore.
Yep.
And then I'm going to go to Timothy Dalton.
That's the one I always forget. Well done, sir. Who else you got?
I'm forgetting Lazenby or something like that. That goes back to the
George.
Between
that,
the
no
George
way.
Lazenby.
You're getting the hardest ones. George Lazenby was in one bizarre movie. That was it. Okay, there's 3 more to go.
Well, Daniel Craig, and now this one's the really embarrassing one because I watched every damn one of them.
Come on.
Remington Steele. It's Pierce. It's I want to say Guy Pierce. That's not it. That's another actor I love. Morgan. It's not Morgan. Morgan Pierce. Pierce Brosnan.
That's it.
There you go.
I can't. First of all, okay, you're 6 for 7, Zep, off the top, and that is. I'm astounded that you got Lazenby, and then, as I said, I always forget about Timothy Dalton too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, just that one. Not, you know, not great. Maybe.
Okay. There is one remaining who was only in one Bond film, and I'll give you a hint. 1967 Casino Royale, and it was a parody of a Bond film, but he
David
Niven.
Wow.
Look at Zep running the table.
We did this the other day. We could only come up with like 3 or 4.
Holy smokes. I have a newfound respect for a man I already had respect for. Brian Zep, 7 for 7 on the James Bonds.
Jeez.
Candace, how many of those would you have gotten?
2.
Boom.
Ask me anything else. Anything.
Name Wonder Woman's.
Superheroes, no dorky stuff. All right, keep it cool,
man. Yeah. That's incredible. We should lay our odds now. Who's going to be the next James Bond? They haven't announced it, have they? They're because Daniel Craig says he's out.
Idris Elba was my front runner. That's who I wanted to see get the job. He says he's not interested.
They were throwing his name around. He's great in everything I've ever seen him in.
I'm going to go with Jack English Black.
Jack Black,
awesome.
Man, can you imagine Jack Black as James Bond? That's a turn, sure. But yeah, okay, let's do it. Let's start the campaign. Jonah Hill as James Bond. Oh, my God. We've completely lost the plot here. But that's fine. It's the Ides of March. Nobody got hurt so far. Watch your back. We still have plenty of hours in the day.
There's always tomorrow.
The KQ Morning Show. 92 KQRS.
Davani's, your local pizza and hot hoagie joint in the Twin Cities and family owned since 1975. With 20 convenient locations, they proudly employ 900 Minnesotans. Delivery, takeout, or dine in, they've got you covered. Order online at davani's.com.